The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, God's Son, happened just as it was written about in the prophecy of Isaiah. Look, I am sending my messenger before you. He will prepare your way. A voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make his path straight. John the Baptist was in the wilderness, calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. Everyone in Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went out to the Jordan River and were being baptized by John as they confessed their sins. John wore clothes made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He announced, "One stronger than I am is coming after me. I'm not even worthy to bend over and loosen the strap of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." About that time, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. While he was coming up out of the water, Jesus saw heaven splitting open and the Spirit like a dove coming down on him. And there was a voice from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I dearly love. In you I find happiness." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I invite the children to come forward. Season, past, present, and future. We were just at the Islandwood camp on Bainbridge with the fifth grade, so Cameron, you were there, right? Yeah. Josiah, you were there. Liana, you were there 2 years ago. And Micah and Holden have this to look forward to in the future. Now, what did it do the whole time you were there?
Rain.
And the trails flooded.
And
the seat backed up and we couldn't take showers.
Too much water. Sister was backed up.
I saw a pipe coming out of the septic tank area. It was spraying water for all the 24
hours. It was getting pretty bad. What do we have to wear to be out there in the rain?
Rain gear, rain pants, and put them down far enough from your water protecting boots so that make a waterproof shield.
Yeah, waterproof everything. Jackets, pants, boots.
Goggles.
Not everybody wore goggles, but you might have. I don't remember seeing that, but your backpacks you wanted to have be waterproof.
He had gotten the other side of the thing and walked in, someone who just fell over with his backpack on. The bottom half of his backpack was soaky.
Some people who were not entirely prepared got really, really wet. Now, did you catch what John the Baptist was wearing when he was out in the wilderness? Yeah, he's wearing clothing of camel hair. And what did you guys eat when you were out at the camp?
Ice cream.
Tacos, pasta, cookies too. Sandwiches, you had some good hearty meals to keep you nice and warm and keep you full of energy.
And the chocolate chip cookies. Don't forget the chocolate chip cookies.
Did you get those?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Did we have ice cream three times?
Guys,
I don't remember having
ice cream.
We had ice cream once. Why are you upside down?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering too. John obviously was in a little different wilderness, and you had to prepare a little differently for that. But was it good to be out in the trees? How would you compare, which is better, the trees out in Idlewood or the trees in a video game, say Minecraft?
The trees in Minecraft, you can punch a park with your bare fist.
See, I thought maybe some might still go for Minecraft.
The trees in Minecraft are blocky, and when you punch them, they float and circle around on the ground, and also they shrink.
What about the island where you can actually fall over and have root wads, which make little fortresses where blackberries are on the side?
Okay, so yeah, the real trees have their merits too. Not everybody was always immediately convinced who went out to see John. And maybe you're still wrestling between which trees are better, real or digital.
It's the real ones. I said, they can make the actresses and you can hide behind them. It looks like while you're playing the game.
Yeah, your real body can hide behind them, not just your character. Your Steve, if you will.
But
if
you
have to hide the two of white area, it's just a trap door.
But the Oasis.
You're another movie that was comparing.
I know the real
versus the digital world. Well, I have my own biases. I've been saying this since my younger sister was about 12 and was all about video games all the time, which is that if you turn it off and you come and check out the real world, the graphics are amazing.
Yeah,
there are some games that have just been.
People came to see John because he was real. He was authentic, just like those trees that you can hide behind and make fortress of. Will you pray with me this morning?
Okay, this is the also real museum. The real world is the only place with Mayan temples that you can find naturally.
And we have a real tree right here.
The real world, you can find little crabs and a fish and make the epic battle of the fish versus the crabs.
I suppose you could. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for that which is real, that which we can touch and sense, and in the case of John and of Islandwood, experience. We pray that you would give us real experiences this season of Advent to help us prepare for the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray.
Amen.
Fish,
oh my God.
It's coming in here. So that.
Yes, we went away to camp, and on Wednesday I joined the Face on Moss Club. This is a leveling up, I would say, from touching grass or touching a tree. This is one of a few challenges that we were given at Islandwood Camp this week with the fifth grade from Salish Coast Elementary. Now, the requirements for this club seem pretty straightforward when Abigail, one of the camp directors, demonstrated it. Ooh, this is really like, something's not quite right here. Very wobbly. Try not to have a disaster there. But no further description was required than the pantomime that Abigail gave. And there wasn't really any more mention of it the next couple of days, but when we got to the point of doing our solo walks in the forest, I figured I would do what I had to do. And it was great. Well, not that great. Actually, pretty wet, a little dirty, a little barky. But that's real, right? It's moss on the bark of a tree that's had inches of rain dumped on it for days. Not a soft, fluffy, green, fiber-filled pillow. But what really is better? We spent 3 nights in the woods, and it rained as if it would continue for 40. We didn't build an ark, but as you heard from Josiah, we had to lay down some logs and ford some flooded trails. But 65, 10, and 11-year-olds and 17 teachers and chaperones did what we were supposed to do during our time in the wilderness. We challenged ourselves and got out of our comfort zones. These were the explicit objectives of the outdoor classroom experience. But I think there was an overriding theme even greater than those, that of authenticity. I think people were drawn to John the Baptist in the wilderness for very much the same thing. He didn't show up to announce the coming of the Lord from the peak of Mount Zion, nor from the temple courts, nor from a throne like Herod's or a judgment seat like Pilate's. He was out in the wilds where really anyone could have access. And he offered a new beginning for people who wanted a change from old ways of being, freedom from the burden of their sins, and lives to be lived, real and true. The gospel writers, Mark first among them, always make this point of describing John's unusual clothing and diet. Seems weird that they would want to point out so clearly that this guy was weird. Camel hair is scratchy and uncomfortable, which might explain why John was sometimes irritable. Locusts, I assume, go down a bit better, at least with honey. So why go out to the river to see a crazy man who will lead you through this strange ritual of baptism? Well, John was nothing if not authentic. He didn't play games. He didn't really care what other people thought of him. He didn't try to be anyone other than who he was and who God made him to be. He was the first to say his version of baptism and his strength of character were not God's. He could only be an opening act, but not the main attraction. But people were attracted to him nonetheless because he was truthful about these things. When he told the people what his baptism could offer them, he and they could believe it. John washed probably thousands in the Jordan River. It's a whole lot of dirt and filth to remove from people, both literal and figurative. He did it willfully, he did it faithfully, and he did it dutifully. And we had another club that you could join at the camp. This one took a little bit more explanation than the Face on Moss club, but it was pretty simple still. The Dirty Pockets Club. To enter the membership, you picked up 5 pieces of other people's junk or garbage that you found on the property. You dirtied your pockets with it because you might find it way out on the trail and be keeping it for a while, and you brought it back to a proper waste receptacle and you got back to the main part of camp. Now, kind of like John's baptism, somebody had to do it first. But then it kind of caught on. There were some fanfares, the first student to pick up on the importance of picking up, not after just themselves, but others, was recognized. And I happily offered wrappers and items that I found to kids who were interested in getting to lucky number 5. But I confess that without the campfire recognition, subsequently, I sort of lost track. And a bit of heart, too, thinking that this noble concept really wasn't catching on. But by the last day, I noticed the list on the whiteboard. It had a few dozen names, quietly adding to making the environment a cleaner, better place, and not being afraid to get a little bit dirty to do it. Finally, on the last night of camp, it was time for the campers to truly shine. We shared the camp for the week with another 5th grade from an elementary school on Seattle's Beacon Hill. And at that last campfire, there was a talent show of sorts, and the second act, well, it could have been all over there. These kids from the city could dance. Breakdancing is going to be a competition at the next Olympics in Paris next year. And if it's still on the program for 2032 in Brisbane, these guys might all be there. It was just going to be a tough act for anybody to follow. But maybe the fifth grade is just the right age. I don't know. There was a Columbia University professor who wrote about the gradual disappearing of having a hobby just a few years ago in an op-ed the New York Times. And he noted that people give these hobbies up because we're afraid of being bad at them. Loss, he wrote, is the gentle pursuit of a modest competence, doing something just because you enjoy doing it. Earlier that day, we'd had a brief session in the art studio, making watercolor paintings, and normally it's the kind of thing that I would sit it out, go and talk to some of the other adults off by the side, but I challenged myself to sit down and paint something. It wasn't anything to write home about, but it was kind of fun playing with the colors and relearning how to intensify or soften them. Now the kids, meanwhile, at that talent show the last night, they didn't feel at all like they had to measure up. Each group came up, and otherwise shy kids stepped up with a presence to take over the room. Whether it was emceeing a trashin' show, the hefty bags as evening gowns, or to drop a litany of facts about mushrooms topped by a painting of a fungus that, well, I did send a photo home to his mom because I thought it was pretty impressive. The second to last act stole my heart, though. A kid battling a nasty case of laryngitis, he was worried beforehand that his voice wouldn't let him do his thing. And sitting next to him at dinner as he's telling me this, I told him he didn't have to overly strain himself if he didn't want to. But Cameron went up there and laid down the entire opening song from Hamilton with his little raspy voice and all. Now, I think the best part was when the kids from the other school started really getting into it, because I don't think they expected this gangly little ginger kid from Port Townsend could actually rap. But his confidence and the reception that he received brought a tear to my eyes. You are my son, whom I dearly love. In you I find happiness, the voice from heaven said, when Jesus came and was baptized by John. Mark captured these words as a testimony to real love, deep relationship, true happiness. We won't be wearing camel's hair today, and none of us will be eating crickets, I don't think. But we wear the mark of our baptism throughout our entire lives. And by God's claim on us, in these waters, we lay claim to God's love, to God's forgiveness through the waters, and in relationship to God as God's own children, God's eternal and infinite happiness. Amen.
Amen.